Hey, what's up? Hello, Futurecasters. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Past, Present, Futurecast, the podcast that's also a tarot reading. I am your host, Maria Elena Pakoulis, and I am recording this today having just returned from a wonderful vacation to the Pacific Northwest, visiting my lifelong best friend who recently moved to Washington State. I actually wrote this intro that I'm recording right now from the sensory room in the Seattle airport. And since I know many of my witchiest friends, and by many, I mean nearly 100%, are neurodivergent, here's a pro tip for you next time you're traveling. Look to see what quiet spaces the airports you're in offer. At the time of writing this, I had just spent the last hour laying down and stretching in a very quiet, dimly lit room with my preferred relaxation music in my headphones, and I felt like an entirely new human. I ended up with an extra 4-ish hours in the Seattle airport due to my original flight being overbooked, and finding this space made the time go by so much easier. I felt so much more human and less overstimulated. Huge thanks to SeaTac for offering this to travelers. Since I've been on vacation and not at all focused on the podcast, I don't have a listener question for you, but I do want to give a quick reminder that I am currently taking tarot and astrology clients. You can find information about my readings, how to book, rates, and all that good stuff on my website, which is persephonictarot.com. That's persephonictarot.com. I'd also like to let you know that I do donate a portion of what I receive from these sessions to local mutual aid groups. Currently, I'm donating to ALMA, or Amphi Liberation Mutual Aid. This is a group working to support folks in a neighborhood that I grew up in and around, and I highly recommend supporting them if you are looking for more mutual aid groups to add to your roster. You can find more info on them on their Instagram at ALMA520AZ. Lastly, before we get to the main event for this episode, which is a particularly heartfelt interview with Tucson-based tattoo artist Sophie McTeer, I want to repeat something that I've said before and will say again and again and again. Free Palestine. Free Palestine from occupation by Israel. Free Palestine from the genocide and active starvation that the government of Israel is committing against them right now. Please keep speaking up and speaking out. Our spirituality must never be devoid of humanity or ignorant of the realities of the world. Our spirituality should remind us of the fact that we are all connected. What is happening to one of us is happening to all of us. And all children are our children. We must protect them as such. I share stories of artists and creatives on this podcast as a very small way of decentering capitalism, which is inherently tied to colonialism, which is what is killing all of us and specifically fueling the genocide in Gaza. Thank you for listening. Now, please enjoy this interview with Sophie McTeer. Here we are. I'm here with Sophie McTeer. Sophie is a tattoo artist and illustrator based in Tucson, Arizona. And I'm so excited that they're here to talk with me today. Sophie, how's it going?
It's going really well. Thank you for having me, Maria Elena. I'm so excited to be here.
You're
Thank you.
So welcome. So, Sophie, for those who are not familiar with you, do you want to give a little further introduction about you and your work?
Yeah, absolutely. So I have been tattooing for the past 2.5, almost 3 years here in Tucson. I work at a studio called Sublime Tattoo. It's on the west side of Tucson near A Mountain for those local to
Tucson.
Shout
out to the west side. Everything's on the east side these days.
Shout out to the west side.
Get back over here.
I do really love the west side. We are local to Menlo Park. I love that neighborhood. I tattoo in primarily a femme shop, and we are a really cool space. It's very fun to work in this space, and I feel really blessed to work there. I primarily tattoo bold and bright colors. I do kind of a mix between traditional and illustrative work, which ties in my work before tattooing. So before tattooing, I was an illustrator for almost 12 years. And I still illustrate sometimes. So if there's a project that you have in mind for illustrating and you want to send it my way, let me know. I am a little bit more exclusive with my illustration these days because I am tattooing most days of the week. But if you have something in mind and you want to send it my way, I am excited to hear about it. But yeah, I tattoo lots of different styles, but I would say that it's primarily bold, bright colors, and the traditional and colorful is probably my favorite.
You work with some great colors. I love like looking at your feed. It's just like so bright and bold. Like you said, bold is a big keyword, I think, for you and your work. And your Instagram bio actually currently reads, "Soft hands, bold lines, big heart." What does that kind of mean to you? We've got the concept of bold lines. What about the rest?
I think that for me, one of the biggest reasons that I got into tattooing was because I wanted to make sure that I could provide the space that I never had when I was younger getting tattooed. So I started getting tattooed when I could, right? I started getting tattooed right when I turned 18, and I didn't really initially have that space where I felt completely seen as the person that I am. So I'm queer, I'm non-binary, and I went to some really amazing shops, I will say. I was living on the East Coast at the time, and I was getting these really cool traditional tattoos, but they were in spaces where, you know, it was more of that traditional shop. It was a street shop, and you're getting dudes that are kind of, you know, gruff and tough. And that's how the culture has been for a really long time. There is a time and a place for that, and I absolutely respect the culture and the history that I'm coming from. But what I want to be in the tattooing industry is a space that is welcoming for folks that are LGBTQ, folks that have never had color tattoos before. Especially in Tucson, a lot of people are being told that they can't get color tattoos because they have dark skin, for instance. So I want to make sure that I provide a safe and inclusive space for people that haven't had that before. I consider myself a healer. I don't always like using that word for myself because I don't know. Maybe I just haven't stepped into it fully. But I think in my heart, I know that I'm a healer. And I think that's part of the reason that I wanted to move into tattooing. I have always felt connected to the idea of communal healing through art. And I wanted that so much with illustration, but I didn't feel like I could fully do that when I was illustrating. So I had an amazing community online when I was illustrating, and I built a big base through Instagram and things like that. But I was missing that sort of one-on-one connection with people. So that idea of soft hands, big heart, I think kind of came into play, knowing that I could have that one-on-one connection, that healing touch, and the idea of actually being able to speak to people, learn their stories, and talk to them about where they're coming from. There were actually people that I had known through the Tucson community, seeing them at art markets and things like that for years and years, that I didn't actually really know until I had a tattoo appointment with them for an hour or two. And then I really got to hear their story. And I feel so absolutely blessed for that. So I know that's kind of a long-winded answer, but I feel like tattooing has absolutely opened my world to connect to people. And I feel so grateful for that.
Getting a tattoo is such an intimate experience. You're literally altering someone's body in this like ritualistic setting, like the setup, the cleanliness, like the preparing of the space, the adding the art, like injecting it into the skin, having your hands on that person for such a prolonged period of time. Incredible. So one of the things that I know about you, and one of the ways that I became more acquainted with your work, I've known the name Sophie McTeer because you are one of the more prominent tattoo artists in Tucson, Arizona. And we have a lot of tattoo artists in Tucson, Arizona. But in the circles I run in, Sophie McTeer is a name that gets thrown around a lot, to be very honest with you. So I've been aware of your work, but I became much more aware of your work because you work with my good friend, my collaborator, my Reiki teacher, Rose from Tarot by Rose 333. Still can't say friend of the pod because she hasn't come on the podcast yet. She's a busy woman, a busy mom. But you have done incredible tattoo work on her. And I know that you've also received Reiki training from her. Can you tell me a little bit about why you wanted to pursue that training and how, if I'm going to make an assumption here, but how you feel like that works in with your tattoo work?
Yes. So first of all, shout out to Rose. Actually, it's kind of funny. I feel like so much of what falls into my life, I guess, falls into my life. So much of the blessings that I've had and I've received from what I call spirit. I know, you know, whatever resonates with you, but source, spirit, God, I think just sort of falls into my lap. And I feel so blessed for that. Actually, Rose just approached me. And I had known Rose through sort of just meeting years prior at an art mixer or something like that. And Rose approached me and asked if I wanted to trade. And I'm actually often open to trading, especially with resources, you know, that sound enticing to me or things that I need or want, especially with other local creatives. I'd much rather circumvent capitalism and circumvent the dollar if I can, then, you know, just give each other money. It just seems better to barter or to trade if we can. So Rose said, would you be open to receiving Reiki from me in exchange for tattoos? And I had maybe once or twice received Reiki and felt some things change, but maybe not in a huge way. And I think also it was in a way that I wasn't maybe receiving at that time. And I also, now looking back, I think I actually was having things in my life change, but I just wasn't noticing. And I just said, sure, what the heck, I'll try it. Because it was several sessions, which was different from any Reiki that I had received. Reiki in the past that I had received was remote from people across the country, or just in addition to massage as a little add-on. And I was open at the time, so I said, sure, I'll try it. And honestly, at the time, was kind of apprehensive and a little bit like, okay, maybe this will work, maybe it won't, but we'll see how it goes. I sort of treated it like therapy and tarot readings for free. Why not? As we started to work together, I realized, wow, this is really giving me some space to recognize where I need to work on things. It's giving me space to talk about problems in my life or growth points in my life in a way that I haven't really talked about them before. It's allowing me to connect to spirit and source in a way that I haven't been able to before. And it's allowing me to just be expansive and bounce ideas off of someone in a way that I had never tried. And so as we went forward, honestly, Rose kind of just said, I think that you would be someone that would be very good to try Reiki level one. And I didn't really know what that meant, honestly. And then I looked into it and I thought, okay, well, sure, it's just a continued level of healing. And when I went into Reiki level one and sat there in the actual attunement, which for folks that are listening and they don't really know, I mean, Reiki is, you know, a type of energy healing. And as you get into Reiki trainings, you actually are attuning to a lineage. Rose in particular is very clear about the history of Reiki, which I really appreciated. Rose does things slowly and intentionally, which I also very much appreciate. So we sat with this and I meditated and I found that I'm actually someone that doesn't see mental images in my head, which is very interesting. As an artist, I actually realized that very recently, that other people do see mental images. I didn't really realize that that was something that was unique to me. I thought that when people said they were picturing things in their mind, that they were doing the same thing as me, just kind of thinking of the idea and not actually visually seeing these things.
I'm the same and way. Yeah.
Are you? Okay.
So I have a really hard time picture an apple. I can like think about what an apple looks like.
Yeah. Yeah. I just have, it's just darkness and I can think about the idea of an apple, but I can't see it. Right. So then as I was sitting there getting Reiki attuned, I actually visually saw things and I was seeing this image of a yogi sitting there cross-legged, and there was a beautiful wheel that turned into an eye, that turned into a tiger. That so it was just also bizarre and beautiful. And later I looked up sort of, you know, just Google terms of what this could be, and found that there was a Hindu god that was related to this tiger. Anyways, turns out he was born on my birthday. Long story short, it just kind of all fell into place. And I just got more and more interested and curious and all of these things, again, falling into my lap. I just was like, okay, this all feels very special, important. It's not taking away anything in my life. I'm feeling much more space and openness. I'm feeling happier. I'm feeling lighter. I'm meditating more. My body is feeling more energized. I'm feeling less pain. I also should say I came from a place several years ago, even just a year ago, where I had endometriosis so badly that 3 to 5 years ago, I was bedridden. So to be in a place now where I'm energized, I'm walking around, I think a lot of this had to do with healing my body, healing my mind, healing my spirit. I did have a hysterectomy a year ago, which helped so much, but I was still in a place where my body was really hurting, really in pain. And I think my spirit and my mind were too. So Reiki healing really gave me the space to heal myself so that I could have space to take in other people's pain and have space for that too. Because so much of what tattooing is listening to other people's pain. And I wanted to be there for that. And I found that before I was doing Reiki, before I was creating space, before I was meditating, before I was grounding myself in the earth, I often didn't really have space for that. And I wanted that. I wanted to be able to listen. I wanted to be able to hear people and help people. Like I said, I mean, that's really been my goal and my journey with tattooing, is to be able to give people space and give people healing. And I will say that Reiki level 2 is more of the attunement of helping to heal others with your hands. That is something that you want to do with consent. So it's not something that I necessarily have integrated into my tattooing practice yet. It is something that I've thought of. I don't know that I'm there yet, but it's something that I think in the future would be really cool. I think I'm still maybe stuck on the stigma of just putting it out there. But I was actually thinking maybe just voicing it here today is the first step. And I've been more open about talking about all of these things lately with clients. And actually, a lot of people have been more open to receiving. I think, honestly, I've just had a lot of like a throat blockage of just speaking my truth about all of, honestly, how woo-woo, quote unquote, I really am. But I am a really woo-woo person. I am a really spiritual person. And that's something I've just been trying to be more honest about lately.
How incredible. What a beautiful testament to the experience of being attuned to Reiki. How often or in what ways do you find yourself using Reiki on yourself? Has this become part of your regular practice?
Yeah, absolutely. So that's actually something that has been so monumental in my life. I use Reiki every day. I check in with my spirit guides, with my lineage, and with the idea of the Reiki principles. So there are some principles in Reiki about essentially just not letting worry or anger guide you, not letting fear run your life. Those are things that I really stay intentional about. And also just letting gratitude run my life, letting myself stay in an energy of gratitude. And that's something that I think is universal to a lot of spiritual practice. So moving away from fear, moving away from anger, and moving towards a resonance of gratitude and love. So that's something that I think I'm just so grateful to Reiki for. So I do that. I also do a lot of, clearing of my energy. And that's something that's especially helpful at the tattoo shop. If there's ever, someone that comes in and it's just a lot of energy, or if there's, someone that comes in from the street or, and needs a little bit of healing, I just send a little bit of mental love their way and give a little bit of a clearing of any dissonance that's in my body. Or I've been able to, through meditation, really see where in my body things are feeling out of alignment. So I think also just through gentle breath, that's been really helpful. So that's also something that through a therapist I learned was actually just being in my body more. My last therapist that I had, I'm not in therapy anymore, but I was in therapy for almost 10 years, and maybe even more. And I found that my last therapist that was just so helpful for me, she really taught me to be in my body. And I think that for years and years and years, I was in my head and I was ruminating and I thought, oh yeah, I've processed things. I've thought about them, and I've thought about my feelings, and I've really, intellectualized them. Actually, what had been the most helpful after that was being able to sink into my body, breathe, and figure out where those feelings were coming from. So now when I have a bad feeling, or quote unquote bad feeling, I don't really feel like feelings are good or bad necessarily. They just teach me things. But when I have a feeling, I can sink into my body and feel, oh, is it in my chest? Is it in my stomach? Is it in my pelvis? And now I know for me, things in my chest sometimes feel like anxiety. Things in my pelvis sometimes are shame, or things in my throat are things that I'm not really saying that I need to be speaking truthfully. And that's been really helpful. I also know, like I said, things aren't necessarily good or bad. They just are. So now when things feel scary or angry or things like that, it's just lessons that I'm trying to learn. And now I can see it that way, and everything feels a little bit less scary or a little bit less, full of anger or things like that. So I feel like now I'm just having fun with life.
That's awesome. That's where you want to be, having fun with life. I am also a massage therapist, and so I really relate to that, the benefit of being Reiki attuned in the clearing and the cleansing and the making sure that you're not holding on to all of your clients' stuff. Like, it's just simply not ours to hold on to, even if we are helping them move through it or helping them work through it, whether that's through receiving a tattoo, receiving art in their body, receiving Reiki healing, or receiving massage therapy. When we're in that intimate of a space, we can have things blend and mix and, stick onto us. And it's so important to be able to shed that in a way that is, loving and respectful of everyone's energy, because it's not good. It's not good to hold on to the gunk from everyone else. And lots of other people are gunky. No shade, no shame. I'm gunky some of the times too, but.
Oh, absolutely. Like, in the same way that you would take a shower after working in like a, physically, dirty environment, if you're in an environment that sometimes gets a little bit bogged down emotionally, we've all felt it. You walk into a room where someone is really pissed off, like, you feel that and it's going to rub off on you. And sometimes I've definitely been there. I'm there often where if someone's gossiping, like, I feel the energy of wanting to gossip and get like pissed off too. But I have to center myself sometimes and realize, like, okay, that's not my baggage. That's not my energy of being pissed off. And when I do get in that energy, like, it doesn't make me feel great. So at the very least, at the end of the day, I do like what feels like an emotional shower, right? Like, just always center myself at the end of the day and realize what is mine. And it always makes me feel better.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Even if the, you know, said client, said hypothetical client we're working on is like perfectly clear in their own energy, you still don't want to carry some of theirs with you. It's just not yours. So being able to shower that off at the end of the day is just a great practice for anyone who's working in close quarters or in maybe emotionally heightened situations with other people. So looking at the cards that have come up for your present, and I did also sneak peek for myself, look at what came up in the past, because we kind of started a little bit. We started a little bit going in there with your experience in tattoo shops previously. And I'm floored by all the cards that are coming up already. And just hearing you speak, like, first of all, I can hear and like feel how much you are living in the principles of Reiki, which are great principles to live by, whether you're practicing Reiki or not. Just everything that you're saying, the energy that you're exuding and projecting is so beautiful and does really feel like it truly resonates with the archetype of the healer. And so much of that is coming up in these cards. So this combo, what a beautiful combo for the present. We have the Empress and the Ace of Cups coming up here. And I'll say that I picked this vintage Hoi Polloi tarot deck because I felt like it most connected or like resonated with your art style, with some bold lines, some bold colors, some vintage inspired imagery. So I love this deck. I try to like pick a deck that sort of goes with who I'm interviewing. But, you know, as an illustrator, as an artist, looking at these images, what do they say to you?
Oh, well, I read tarot too, and I don't read it professionally, but I definitely read it for myself. And so, I mean, seeing those cards come up, it's definitely beautiful to see the energy of self-love and healing and creativity. I think those would be the words that would come up for me, and that's really beautiful to see, because I think those are the feelings that I'm trying to come up with right now. And I think the energy of rest I'm also trying to be in right now as well.
Yes, absolutely. Especially with, I mean, the Suit of Cups, of course, is more of the element of water is much more about receiving, but the Empress especially is very much like about resting, receiving. There is an energy of giving and of nurturing and of caring and of like providing care for others, which I hear so much in how you speak about like the way you work with your tattoo clients and creating that space with soft hands and having it be like a softer, more gentle approach to receiving tattoos. So yeah, but there is again that restful aspect of allowing what is to be, like allowing for whatever is present to kind of be there, and knowing that you can ground if there's something that is feeling disharmonious or uncomfortable, you know, acknowledging that and then allowing it to be kind of like grounded and recycled down into the earth. Like the Empress is such an earthy card, and it's like associated with Taurus, of course. And I've been curious this whole time, like, are you Venus dominant? Are you one of the Venusians like me and Rose? Because you give some of that.
I'm not actually. Oh, well, I don't think so. I I'm an Aries sun, a Virgo rising, and a Libra moon. So maybe that's some of it.
Yeah,
and
then the Virgo and the Libra are jumping out.
Yeah, and then I am I will say I'm a Pisces Venus.
Pisces Venus, you said Virgo rising and Libra moon.
Yes.
Yeah, so that's a nice healer combination right there for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. How you like relate to people is very much like, oh, I can sense your energy. I can sense what hurts. And also I can like offer tools to fix it if you would like.
Yes, I definitely think that's a big part of who I am. I will say there's a lot of fire in my chart, and I think that energizes my workflow and like getting shit done. But I think that I am really passionate about, giving and receiving. I think it's kind of also what I see in those cards, like being able to be a clear channel, not only for source, but also for the people that I'm working with. And I love being able to not only learn from the world, the earth, nature, spirit, but also from the people I'm working with. And I also like to be able to teach. Like, I always feel like I feel like a bit of like an antenna. Like, I'm always taking in everything, and then I'm always passing it along. Like, one of my favorite things that I do as a tattoo artist is connect people in the community. So I meet so many people, and to be able to say, hey, I actually met this person the other day that you would love, you could work with them on this project that you're doing. It's such a blessing. I love being able to do that.
I like to call myself a community pollinator. Because I see myself in exactly the same role in Tucson. I love being in that role of introducing people around town, because then you get to know everyone too.
Yeah, I love that. I might steal
yes,
that.
You're
I,
welcome to.
I thank you. I think that idea is so beautiful too, because who knows what an impact you're going to make on somebody's life through that. And I've had people do that for me too, you know, and to be able to make those introductions, you know, you're doing something for you that's so small, but could be making such a lasting impact for someone. It's amazing. I think that's just, it's honestly, I think I saw this thing that was sort of how do they describe it? I think it was like a feminist, like how the feminist revolution will happen, essentially, like how now we're changing the world in a more feminine energy. And part of it was that, like, we're healing, we are connecting people to each other. And instead of having a revolution through war and through violence, we are having revolution by saying, no, we're refusing to do those things. We're having revolution by healing each other. We're having revolution by creating these communities, by connecting each other, by providing, you know, help to each other, by giving each other community aid, those kind of things, doulas, you know what I mean? Like, all of these beautiful resources and healing, like, who's going to heal each other? Not the government, us. I mean, this is a whole other topic that I could talk about forever. You know, we save each other, we help each other. And that is such, also in the Empress energy, I think, is, you know, who saves each other, us. And I think for a while, also being an Aries, I think I saw you're a double Aries,
I
is that right?
I am, yeah. Rising and moon.
Cool. I mean, I don't know if you resonate with this, but I think that for a while, especially when I was younger, I thought that being in that Aries energy, I really resonated with the Emperor, and I was very maybe more masculine in the way that I wanted to get things done. And I wanted to be very direct, very powerful, very, you know, I need to get things done by this time, and I need to manage, you know, my 5-year plan and this kind of thing. And I think that there is a time and a place for that. But I think that right now in my life, this Empress energy keeps coming up, And I think that just allowing my life to sort of flow into place has been much more beneficial to me. And I think, like you said, sort of that more like Venusian feminine energy has been more in more of a flow state for me. And I think also being non-binary for a long time, I was sort of pushing away my femininity. I'm AFAB. And I think for a while I wanted to be more masculine and I wanted to push away the womanhood that I grew up in. But I think that, you know, I was conditioned in womanhood. I grew up in womanhood and womanhood is beautiful. Women are beautiful. Femininity is beautiful. I think that I sort of embody a non-binary quality that doesn't really even necessarily align with femininity or masculinity. I just have always resonated with the idea of everything and nothing, which I think to me aligns with sort of like source energy more than anything now that I've gotten to know what that feels like. But when somebody introduced me to being non-binary, that was immediately what I thought, like, oh, everything and nothing. That's what I am. That's my gender. And even then, people didn't understand that. And I was like, I guess they don't have to. I do. Anyways, that's a bit of a tangent. But I just think that this idea of rest and allowing things to be in flow and allowing yourself to sort of just let what comes to you come to you often is what allows, you know, more than what you've ever expected to come to you. That's kind of what happened with Reiki, like what I was saying, you know, it just popped into my lap. And that was, you know, it's been such a blessing in my life. It's been now what leads my life in such a beautiful way. And I think that when you allow things that you don't expect to come in your life, you know, you're not pushing the plan in as much of that emperor way. You're allowing things to just come to you. And in that way, it's more than what you could have ever dreamed.
Yeah. Yeah. Hearing you talk about the everything and nothing and now knowing that you're a Virgo rising is really interesting because something that you might find interesting about Virgo is it's ruled by the planet Mercury. And Mercury in traditional astrology, so all of the planets can be considered masculine or feminine, yin or yang in traditional astrology, except for Mercury. Mercury is both and neither. Sometimes it's neither and sometimes it's both. And sometimes it can be one and sometimes it can be the other. So you being Mercury ruled, the way that you think about your non-binary-ness is very mercurial. And I find that quite interesting and beautiful. But I do.
I do too. I did not know that.
Yes, Mercury is like a non-binary icon for sure.
That is so cool. I definitely knew about Mercury, but I guess I had assumed that it was masculine, but that is so cool to know. I'm going to have to look more into that. Thank you. You're welcome.
You're welcome. Fun little astro tidbit. But I love that you're also making that connection between Aries and the Emperor, because looking at the cards that came up in the past, we have another like heavy hitter double combo. We have the Emperor and the High Priestess coming up in the past for you. Wild.
That's so funny.
So talking about how you kind of like were previously in this more Emperor driven state of mind and attempting to kind of, you know, act in a more like Emperor style way. And then also, you know, just calling back to when we first started talking about the tattoo shops that, you know, you were receiving tattoos in versus the shop that you the shop environment you strive to create now was much more of the Emperor style, that hard masculinity, that gruffness, that like boys club kind of environment. But having this combo of the Emperor and the High Priestess together, like as a double Aries. So for the listeners, Aries is the sign associated with, or the card of the Emperor can be associated with the sign of Aries. It's probably the way I would put it. So the Emperor in modern times, it is a difficult card in it's a difficult archetype. It's an archetype that we so clearly struggle with as a society. The default emperor in most of modern history is violent and aggressive and destructive and colonizing and like imperializing and, you know, sending bombs to a country halfway across the world because they're pissed off that their birthday party didn't go how they planned. That kind of Aries energy, emperor energy, is so prominent. And as a double Aries who also tries to embody the archetype of the healer, I spend a lot of time thinking about what healthy emperor energy could look like and what that is meant to be at a, like, you know, universal level. And having that combination of the emperor and the high priestess to me says that for a very long time you have subconsciously known who you are, what work you were meant to do in this world, what healing you were meant to bring to people, what kind of like a beautiful space and like incredible work that you have been striving towards your whole life, even if, you know, you as a teenager or someone in their 20s may had consciously like no fucking idea what, you know, that you were going to become attuned to Reiki and have like a beautiful shop and who knows what else you're going to do, move or like work in the beautiful shop and who knows what else you're going to do with your work and your energy moving forward. But yeah, that combination in particular is like, you were always meant to be a healer, and you've been training in that for a long time, whether you knew it or not. That's my quick spiel, my not so quick spiel on like everything that hit me when I pulled these cards over. What are your thoughts, Sophie? Shut me up a little bit, because I like hearing you talk.
No. Well, thank you. Well, I will say that I pulled those cards for years. So that is very spot on, first of all.
That is you. Pull. That is you, the Emperor and the High Priestess. That's wild. Ugh.
So, okay. Well, a little bit about me. So I grew up very fundamentalist Christian. Non-denominational, evangelical. If you searched my church growing up, the first Google term that came up was cult. And so, yeah, I was a little bit dicey. And I think that right around when I turned 14 or so, my brain was developing. And I cut all of the ties that I could at the time to the church and, you know, was like, F God, F Christianity, F everything. And at that point said I was atheist and didn't believe in anything and that Christianity, you know, was stupid and science was the way. And for a long time, just, you know, believed all of that. But then for a long time felt like something was missing. And I think that a lot of people go along this journey. I've met a lot of people that have, you know, grown up within some sort of religion and then have felt like something is missing. And I think part of that is like the nature versus nurture, like being nurtured in something and feeling like something is missing. But at the same time, I believe in reincarnation. I think that we also choose the families of origin. And I think that I was brought into this family to learn these lessons. And I think that I went into this family to learn about this type of Christianity, this type of spirituality, so that I could learn about a beautiful type of spirituality and teach myself that type. So what happened after that was, you know, years of not believing anything but feeling kind of empty. And then I always kind of felt like, well, maybe the paranormal and things like that is just what science couldn't explain. Because then for years I was having paranormal paranormal activity, essentially. I would see ghosts. I would hear things. For a while, I was worried that I was schizophrenic. And, you know, I did go through a series of, like, mental health evaluations and things like that. And essentially, they didn't find anything. I, for a long time, felt like, why me? Why is this happening to me? And I thought I was losing my mind. I started having prophetic dreams. I started having intuitive, lucid dreams. I started having things that I couldn't explain, things that felt like memories. One in particular was in the middle of the time when I was dealing with the worst of my endometriosis. That was a dream where I was in this sort of cosmic space and didn't feel like the space that we know of. There were no stars or anything like that, but it was dark and it didn't feel scary. But I had these sort of holographic images floating around me of people's lives. And then it didn't feel like TVs, but they were sort of rectangular images of people's lives flowing around me, and young people, old people, women, children. And then I saw me. I saw Sophie. I could tell for some reason that I wasn't using my vocal cords. I could tell that everything was telepathic. And there was some sort of like command station below me. And in my head, I said, it's time. I'm ready. I choose me. And I felt my sort of heart space flow into the energy of this image of me. And I should also say that I don't exactly remember everything, but I could also remember the idea of being able to go through all of these visuals of these they weren't television screens, but these holographic screens of these people, and be able to go through all of their lives at once. You know, fast forward, rewind, like see all of them and process all of that once. And I chose myself. I said, it's time. I'm ready. I choose me. And then I, you know, woke up. And this is before any of my spiritual journey. I woke up and I thought to myself, I guess reincarnation is real, because that felt like realer than anything I've ever felt before. And then I just had to sit with that for a while just by myself. And I didn't really tell anyone because I was just so kind of scared, honestly. And then years later, I felt myself drawn towards this podcast. And honestly, I didn't really listen to podcasts that much at the time, but I saw this podcast and it was sort of a woo-woo spiritual podcast. But it was my first time listening to an episode, and I listened to a random episode. It wasn't even the most recent. And it said, what happens after you die? And they were talking about, oh, you know, we were all listening to this book. We're all reading this book, and it's about this, you know, past life regressionist. And he started as a psychologist, and he was at first doing, you know, regressions in order to help people with their trauma. And he was doing hypnosis. And at first, it started with him, you know, it's like 5 years old checking on their trauma, and then they went to. He was seeing that they could all go back to being toddlers and infants. And then he was seeing that they could all remember what was before that. And then they're talking about, oh, and then they all have this experience, this shared experience of tons of people being able to go to this place. And they're all calling it like the ring of destiny, the ring of truth. And it's this dark space with all of these screens and like a mission control. And you could see all these people's lives and et cetera, et cetera. So anyways, this was part of my spiritual awakening of being like, oh, that is exactly, it was exactly what I described. And it was so bizarre. And I just felt like completely overtaken with like, half of me felt afraid, half of me felt validation. And then I just felt this feeling of like, oh, I am a soul in a body. And that's just what we're doing. Like, I'm on this planet and I get to experience this. And what am I doing? I get to just spread love and enjoy life. And that's what it's all about. So that's what I've been doing for the past few years. And now what I realized, to tie it back to everything with the emperor and the high priestess, was when I kept pulling the high priestess I kept also pulling the moon in reverse. And it kept telling me to kind of like, listen to your intuition, listen to these ideas that you're receiving, listen to the idea, your gut feeling of the fact that, you know, science is, you know, spirituality, science is energy. So I started researching more and more of, you know, quantum physics and things like that. And I really found that that is tied to the idea of reincarnation and the idea of, you know, the universal theory of everything and stuff like that. And when I was pulling the Emperor, that was the sort of kick in the butt that I needed at the time with my pain that I was experiencing from chronic illness, of also telling me to, okay, like, get a routine, plan everything out, tell yourself how to get out of this feeling in your body. I was in the most pain I had ever experienced, and I thought that I was going to be in that pain for the rest of my life. But now I'm telling a story where I could share that with other people of changing my mind. So I did all of the research and reading that I could. I changed my body. I changed my mind. I changed my spirit through the energy that I learned about, through things like quantum physics, through things like, you know, becoming supernatural with Dr. Joe Dispenza, stuff like that, which I will say I had heard about that book several years prior to that, and I thought it was a bunch of garbage because of the energy I was in of thinking that anything spiritual was garbage. And now I found that, you know, in the year 2025, I look back and anything that I was so vehemently opposed to now are things that I am in such resonance with. I think I just wasn't ready for them. I think this maybe even the Emperor energy of like being so stubborn before, all of those things now I'm in such resonance with. It's so funny, like things like I hated yoga before, I hated meditation before, I hated all these books before, and now that I read them, I'm like, oh, it's just because I wasn't ready, and now that I'm ready for them, I'm in such, you know, I don't know if it was like just polarity that I was in before, and now I'm ready for them, but yeah, I don't know, the Empress and the Emperor energy, now I'm combining both, because I do think that there is a time and a place for that Emperor energy of like being a boss, delegating, you know, standing in your truth, being able to speak eloquently, being able to tell people how you really feel. And I think Aries energy is very powerful. Being a leader, those kind of things are very powerful and people aren't used to them. And being able to also combine that with kindness, I think that's also very powerful.
Yeah, and combine that with intuition, like with that high priestess energy. And hearing you talk about you saying like, I changed my body, I changed my mind, I changed my energy, like all of that also feels very much like Emperor energy of like, I'm taking the reins, I'm making concrete changes, I'm shifting the structure that I emotionally reside within. Because to me, I think of the Emperor so much as like, the farmer or like the person who creates that structure of like making the field or making the town, making the boundaries of the town, making the rules of the town, making the structure of society that then allows the like flowing, creative boundlessness of Empress energy, of High Priestess energy, to have a safe container to like grow to its best ability or best capacity is very much how I see the Emperor. So, you know, you putting that work and effort in to change situations, circumstances, structures in your life in order to allow for healing and softness to come in, and also allowing for your own intuition to then thrive and your own ability to create and nurture both yourself and others around you. Just like chef's kiss embodiment of holding Emperor and Empress energy at the same time.
Well, thank you. And I think the word boundlessness is a very beautiful word for the Empress, and I think that boundaries are very important with the Emperor, and that's something that I've been working very hard on over the past few years, which makes sense then, with the emperor. And I think you need boundaries to become boundless. So I think that's a really beautiful balance of both of those cards.
You need boundaries to become boundless should be like a, on a hat, on a shirt. I might make a like a tarot meme of that.
A tattoo.
A tattoo. Ooh. Yeah, that's great. Okay, I have so many questions for you. One, talking about growing up in a church that may or may not be a cult, are you consciously aware of the risk that you hold of joining another cult, having been raised in one?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
As someone in the spiritual space, I'm always like, careful to not join a cult, but also careful not to start a cult also as a double A.
Yeah, right. I know. That's why I'm like trying so hard just to do things like, I think, on my own right now. And also one-on-one. I think that my tendency when I see things like there's always that like beautiful idea of like joining a commune and, you know, or like going on these like beautiful ayahuasca retreats and things like that. And I think there's a time and a place for those. Absolutely. Myself, I know that I might have the idea of like running off with those and leaving forever. That might be a little bit of a risk for me. So I think that there's definitely the check-ins in like my morning and evening meditations, the necessity for grounding in reality. I think that's definitely important. I think I definitely have to embody the idea of being a spiritual being, but also being in a physical reality very often, because I think especially when I was very sick, I had this feeling of, why do I even have a body? I don't want to have a body. I'm so in pain that I just want to be this soul. I just want to be a spirit. And at the time, I wasn't very spiritual, but I still felt that way because I was just, the embodiment that I had didn't feel good. I just wanted to be my mind at the time. I wanted to be, I didn't really have a connection to my spirit yet, but I had a connection to my mind and I wanted to just be that. But then I realized I had to be connected to my body. And that's when I really started to change my body and change my connection to my body. So I think that, yeah, I think that now the awareness of that has me connected to the idea of, yes, staying grounded in reality and also staying grounded in my body, staying grounded in the connection to my body, my mind, and my spirit, and kind of understanding how all of those are connected to each other. So, yes, I think there is always that risk. And also, I think there's that risk of how I speak to other people and understanding where people are coming from too. Like, are they ready to hear what I am saying? That's also something as a tattoo artist that I'm aware of, because, you know, obviously you could hear the way I speak now. This is not the way that I spoke even 6 months ago or a year ago or 2 years ago, but it is how I am resonating right now, the frequency that I'm in. But I will say that I don't always speak like this with all of my clients. Not everyone is ready to hear this. Not everyone understands the things that you and I are talking about. So sometimes I just keep it light with my clients if they're not ready to talk about all the things that I'm talking about. I often will ask for consent about the things that I'm talking about. Like, hey, do you want to talk about this kind of thing? And a lot of people will say like, yeah, I'm curious. Or sometimes people will just say no, and or, you know, it's rare that they will, but, you know, I always want to check in beforehand. I mean, it's the same thing as touching someone, you know, touching their body. I try to ask for consent because I'm also in a way touching their spirit and in, you know, in a way. So if they're not ready for that, they're not ready, and that's okay.
That leads me directly to the next question that I wanted to ask, which is, do you think that receiving a tattoo can be a healing practice in and of itself?
Absolutely. I think yes. Like I think just point blank yes. I don't think that it has to be or that it always is, but I think for me it always is. Sometimes it could just be silly. But honestly, I think even in those moments when it is silly, it is still healing because you're allowing yourself to be silly. You're allowing yourself to just have a silly, dumb experience. And that's joy. And joy is healing. And I think also that when you do get a tattoo, there's a lot that goes into it. I mean, you are actually having a nervous system experience. You are allowing your body to be touched. You're allowing needles to penetrate your nervous system in a way that really nothing else can do. Especially I found that now that I'm getting my back tattooed, I'm getting my hips tattooed and things like that, I'm feeling needles touch me in a way that I've never had things touch me where, you know, nerves and scar tissue have been built up from things like my endometriosis surgery, my hysterectomy and things like that. And it's actually, it's feeling very healing to kind of feel tension release. I don't know if there's science behind that, but I, in just my own personal anecdote and experience, I do feel like it's been helping me to unleash a little bit of that trauma. And you know, just the experience of having someone hold space for you, whether you speak or not, I find that my tattoo clients, you know, they call it tattoo therapy. A lot of them do. I do find that some of my clients and some of my coworkers' clients, you know, maybe they should also go to regular therapy, you know, which is important because I'm not a therapist. But there is just a genuine, beautiful experience that happens when you have someone just holding space for you where it's like it is your time. It is your space to just be quiet. There are sometimes people that are just quiet and they're crying. There's sometimes people that are just quiet and they're listening to music and it's just their time. Or there are a lot of times where there's moms and they come and it's just their quiet space where they are allowing themselves to have time where they don't really often get time to themselves. They are always with their children and that's beautiful too, where they just have a little bit of solo time. Yeah, I think tattoos are really healing. I mean, and tattoos date back to, I mean, the dawn of humanity, really. There's mummified like hands and arms of people where you can see that there are tattoos on like acupuncture points and things like that, meridian points. So, you know, again, I don't know that they have scientifically proven these things, but I do believe that probably since the dawn of humanity, people have been using tattoos to heal. There are, you know, tribal tattoos all over the world. You know, we owe tattooing to indigenous tribes and cultures and things like that. So, yeah. And anyways, I do believe that, yeah, absolutely, that tattoos are healing. Yes.
Even just coming from a massage therapist perspective, you know, we understand that vibration is really powerful for healing the body, allowing the body to release physical tension and also emotional and energetic tension. So hearing you talk about, you know, having your back tattooed, having your hips tattooed and feeling things, you know, release that you hadn't been able to get at from other modalities or experiences, I mean, that immediately makes me think of the ways that we use physical vibration. And we know that the tattoo needle, you know, it's piercing, it's injecting, and it's also vibrating throughout a much larger part of the body as well. So I was asking that question, also understanding that absolutely it's a healing modality, but wanting to hear your perspective there. And that's so beautiful. I've only ever received my last tattoo I got when I was 21. I'm 29 now, turning 30 at the end of this year. You know, like you, I got my first one like shortly after turning 18. I desperately want that one covered now, but we're working on it. We're saving up for that. But that is the aspect of tattooing moving forward that I'm really interested in, of like marking initiations, like marking major life transitions, and like using it as like a ritualistic experience. So it's really nice to know that we have artists in Tucson who are, embracing that aspect of it, of tattooing as this like really meaningful experience that one can go through.
Well, that's actually something that I don't talk about often, but the idea of like, because sometimes I get so in my head or in spirit, I actually am so passionate about marking life changes, being able to have symbols on your body that you could remember memories of, I think is so powerful. To be able to actually be more embodied with art on your body, I think is so cool to be able to say, like, I did this, I remember this, this is a part of my soul journey through my physical body, through my vessel. I don't really talk about that often, but I think that is something that is so cool about tattooing. Yeah, absolutely. Also, I do trades, so hit me up.
We'll work something out. We'll get some CST, some massage going. So let's spend just a little bit of time. I don't want this interview to end. I love this conversation we're having. But let's spend a little bit of time looking towards the future, engaging in some imaginative prediction. What are you calling in for yourself right now, Sophie?
Oh, that's so hard. Honestly, I'm just calling in love, and whether that be self-love, love for community in the world, could be love in my life. I don't know. I also am calling in abundance. I think abundance for me looks like, it doesn't necessarily look always like physical wealth, although I'm not blocking my blessings. I think for me, abundance looks like I always say, I'm rich when I look around and I see that the tattoo shop is full of beautiful people and I'm tattooing with my friends and I'm getting to interact with the most amazing people. So for me, that feels like wealth. I will say I always manifest the fact that if I do find wealth, I'll spread it through the community. So if that happens, that's beautiful. I'm also manifesting travel. I always love traveling. I got to go to Japan and Australia this past year, which was amazing. I'm going to Minneapolis, one of my favorite cities, Minneapolis and St. Paul, next month. And then I may also be going on another trip later this year. So any kind of travel, seeing the world, seeing other cultures, I love to do. And just world peace forever. Like that is something that I would just like to call in.
I'll join you in that one.
I think that's it.
I'll join you in that one. Can we get a little world peace?
I mean, just learning and world peace and love and just light.
Well, I think you'll be pleased to see the cards that have come up in the future. This is maybe one of my favorite spreads that I've pulled so far. It's so like just rich with nurturance and intuition and powerful action. But I'd love to hear you say you're calling in abundance because, of course, we have the Ace of Pentacles coming up in the future. Heck yeah. Love cool. That. So it's like we've got the Ace of Cups in the present, showing up as that incredible healing, that incredible community that you have and that you're cultivating, and all of that love that you are so clearly sending out. Like I know that the listeners who are listening to this are feeling that love because I am feeling it so strongly in just hearing you talk about your passions, your journey, and what you're up to. Like it's, your words are dripping with love and I'm obsessed. So Ace of Pentacles being called in the future, it's, transforming that love into material resource that can be shared, that can be used to nurture you and your community. Tucson does such a good job at uplifting mutual aid. We are such a mutual aid, centered community, and that's one of the things that I so appreciate about us, and I see that happening just in your shop. I don't know if this will be relevant by the time this comes out, but there is a GoFundMe going on for someone who works in the shop and a family member to help support them going through some medical related hardship. So check out Sublime Tattoos and Sophie McTeer to see if that's still running, if you're feeling inspired to share some of that Ace of Pentacles abundance in this moment. But I'm also excited to see what is simply going to change for you in the future. Like, what new opportunity is right now, like, on its way to you? The door has not yet been opened. The portal is not yet there, but I'm excited to see what it's going to be and what cliff you're going to jump off of, because we have the Fool coming up too. Hello.
Wow. I've been feeling
that. Yeah, you're like, I know it's coming. I don't know what it is yet.
I do. I feel like Spirit has been keeping everything veiled for me right now, but they're like, something is coming, but we can't tell you. And I'm like, ah.
It's so scary. It's so scary to be in that phase, but that's why we have our spiritual practice. That's why we have that regular Reiki practice, that regular grounding practice, to be like, I am okay. I am safe. I'm in like a spiritually dark room and can't see what's around the corner or like what's coming up, but I just have to trust. I'm going to surrender. I'm going to give in and know that whatever is coming is really meant for me, and that, you know, you've been preparing for it this whole time. So much of what I see here is just like preparation, 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 like you going through these initiations and these integration cycles over and over again, because holy shit, I know a psychic when I see one, and there's one sitting in front of me.
Oh, oh, this is a very beautiful spread. And I will say it is resonating with, yeah, everything that I have been connecting to lately. I think I was told by a psychic years ago, connect to your clairvoyance. Like they told me, I went to an Akashic reader here in town, Robin Doxy, if you know her.
Shout out, now because, owner of the ninth house.
Shout out. Yes. Because again, similarly, she was kind of put into my lap by other people. People kept telling me, you should go see Robin Doxy. You should go see Robin Doxy. And I was like, okay, fine. And again, at that time, I was sort of skeptical but open. And she just kept telling me things that were such confirmations, things that I had never told anybody in my whole entire life. And then she said, you just have this huge team of people around you. She like got overwhelmed. She said she got so hot. And she said, there's this huge council around you supporting you. And she said, they're screaming at you essentially that you're clairvoyant and you have to open yourself up to it, that you're claircognizant, clairvoyant, clairaudient, like you just have to be open to it. And I was like, okay. And then I sort of didn't listen to it for a while. And then I guess in the past few years have been listening to it more and humbly so, but more of just connecting to my intuition, right? That high priestess energy. And I similarly have this feeling. None of the cards that you are pulling feel unexpected. They feel very much of a confirmation and a validation. So I love this, Fred. Thank you so much for pulling it. The Fool is very, I used to feel afraid of the Fool, but now I feel so excited to see that. Because yeah, I'm not exactly sure what it means yet, but I embrace it wholeheartedly.
Well, I will point out that you literally said earlier that you used to see things and hear things and, you know, maybe that got turned off, shut down a little bit in the past. But perhaps it's coming back in the future. Perhaps there's going to be a turning back on soon. Oh, my gosh. Well, Sophie, any final thoughts before we wrap all of this up?
I don't think so. I would just say, you know, if anyone's interested in booking a tattoo, you can go to my website, sophiemcteer.com, or you can visit my Instagram, Your Friendly Tattooer. I would be so excited to meet with you and talk about your dreams, what makes you excited, and, you know, what you're interested in getting tattooed on you. I've had such a wonderful time talking with you. Thank you for listening to everything. I know that I'm quite a talker. So, you know, I really appreciate it. I've had such a wonderful conversation as well. So thank you for your insightful questions and thank you for sharing space with me.
You are so welcome, Sophie. And thank you for doing the same here for me. And to anyone listening, maybe ask Sophie for a little bit of Reiki while you're getting your tattoo and we'll get a brand new service started. So thank you so much to everyone who joined us for this conversation. Ways to find Sophie will be in the show notes of this episode. And as always, happy... Oh, I almost said the wrong thing. And as always, happy shuffling.